At least from our experience, once we started or once we kind of joined the board as leadership roles, I have seen and felt like nothing but support from pretty much everybody. I mean, we've talked with assembly leadership, Senate leadership. We have a coffee with the fellowship director later today. There's older staffers, senior staffers, even younger staffers that are helping us behind the scenes.
All right. Hello and welcome again to another episode of Sacktown Talks. Today, we're glad to be joined by Alchemy Graham and Cassidy Denny from the California Legislative Black Staff Association. How's it going? Thanks for joining us, guys.
Great. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
I'm really proud of myself for actually getting all that in there. California Black Staff Association.
I know, it's a mouthful.
It is, yeah.
It is. But it is a nice, what do they call that? Will you shorten it?
It's the acronym.
The acronym,
it does look
right?
Good.
CLBSA.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it looks good.
Exactly. Can you guys tell us a little bit about the CLBSA and kind of how it got formed?
Sure. Yeah. So it started with BLAC, which is the Black Legislative and Capital Staff Association, and CCBSA, which was the California Capital Black Staff Association. They merged. We had a lot of meetings. I was on the Black Staff Association as a fellow, and so I was the fellows rep, so I was a part of those meetings. And we just had a lot of conversations about merging the two associations together, and so then that was how CLBSA was born.
That's interesting. So, like, I never knew there were staff associations. Like, yeah. What staff associations are out there that, you know, we don't really know about?
There's APICA, CQA, the Queer Association. There's CLCAF. Oh, I'm sure I'm missing a ton.
I know. And I think there's some that are actually going to be formed pretty soon. They're just working on it.
So
I feel like we're forgetting.
Yeah. What are these associations? Kind of what are their purposes? Like, why are these formed? And, you know, kind of how are they working? Yeah.
There's a Fellows Association too, a Fellows Alumni Association. And so really, I think they are formed for the main purpose of like creating a sense of community for the staffers in and around the building that identify with that association.
Right.
And so at least that's kind of where we're coming from with CLBSA. And I know the other ones I named too are right there with us of just letting staffers know that they have someplace to go. They have resources that they can reach out to. They have people they can network with, even just ask like, silly questions that they maybe don't want to ask their current office or their boss. They have people that they can automatically have a group to be a part of, to be friends with, to be coworkers with, and sort of just like provide information that maybe like they don't want to ask on their own.
Right.
But if we like provide a webinar about retirement or something, they'll be like, okay, I'll go to that because that's like a safe space with the people I trust. Whereas like you might not go to your ledge director and be like, can you help me with retirement?
Right.
Yeah.
How do we figure out this CalPERS math?
Yeah, what is that?
Yeah. That's great. That's interesting. It's kind of like, you know, I always kind of like call a college, like a university, and they have like the clubs and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I always kind of like the Capitol is kind of like the kind of similar.
Totally.
So that's interesting.
Yeah, it's like really a student. It's like the student associations at college, but for adult and staffers.
Right. Yeah.
Not college students.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, for our listeners who don't know who each of you are, can you kind of tell us a little bit about your history and kind of how you guys got here?
Yeah. Ooh. Do you want me to start?
Sure.
So I'm Cassidy. I'm currently an assistant consultant in Senator Skinner's office. I started in the Capitol at the end of 2018. I was a fellow. Mm-hmm. I got into the Senate fellowship 2018, 2019. So most of 2019, I was with Senator Wiener's office as his fellow. And then after my fellowship, I went to Lighthouse Public Affairs for about 7 months. And then after that, Senator Wiener had a ledge aid spot open up because there wasn't one at the end of my fellowship. So it opened up and I went back to Senator Wiener's office like late 2020. And then just recently in December, moved over to Senator Skinner's office. So jumped around a bit, mainly worked on housing with like a couple other issues here and there. But yeah, that's how I got my start. And
okay.
And
where,
vice chair.
Where are you from originally? And where'd you go to school?
Sacramento. So I'm originally from Sacramento. I went to El Camino High School. Mm-hmm. If we have any listeners.
Eagles.
Eagles.
Right.
And then I went to Colorado State for college. I played volleyball there. So
oh,
that's what
awesome.
Got me out of state. And then came back. Realized I lived within like 15 minutes of the state capitol and was like, I'll just give politics a try. I really like policy. I'm usually like the most opinionated friend in the room. And figured that would be a good place to start. And if I didn't like it, I didn't move to a new city for it or anything. Right. I just drove down the freeway. So yeah, that's how I got here.
That's awesome. And what about yourself, Alchemy?
So I am from Corona in Southern California. Not a fun time to be from a place called Corona, but it exists and it's in California. So that's where I'm from.
You used to think of the beer. Now we think of something else.
Yeah, I know. It's not the same. No. But I went to UC Davis, so just up the causeway from here, and graduated with a degree in biological sciences. So it's a little weird that I'm here because I'm not. Yeah. But I've always been like a really big environmental person. So I've always been into like being outdoors and like nature-y stuff and caring about the environment. Like that's always just been who I am. And so my initial goal sort of, well, I always wanted to be like a marine biologist. And then my mom was like, don't do that. You're not going to make enough money. So I was like, that's really rude. So she's like, have you considered law school?
How does she know?
Yeah, you know, like you're not even, anyway, but she's like, you should consider law school. So I looked into going to law school and then just realized like, that's really not my path. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know what to do.
Good choice.
Yeah. So I was like, it's fine. I'm just lost in life. I don't know what I'm going to do. Quarter life crisis. And then I have a friend, Fred, who is our lobbyist liaison at the moment. He went to a rival high school of mine. So I went to Corona, or I went to Centennial, he went to Santiago. We both went to UC Davis, so I've known him for a while. And he did the fellowship with Cassidy. He did the Senate fellowship. I did the Assembly fellowship, but I only did the Assembly fellowship because I shadowed him for a few hours and I was like, oh, this is actually a really cool gig. Like, I kind of want to try this. So I applied, got into the Assembly fellowship, and I was a fellow in Assemblymember Bennett's office where I mostly worked on environmental stuff, and the occasional housing thing, the occasional utilities and energy, public safety, and budget sub three. So like budget, environmental budget stuff and transportation budget stuff. So that was like what I did. After my fellowship, I went to Shaw Yoder, Antwish, Meltzer & Lang, which is a lobbying firm, which is where I'm at now, legislative and regulatory advocate. So I went in the building and left the building, but I still have like that experience and it's been...
And super recent, right? Like
Yeah. I started my new job in October.
So it's interesting. We just interviewed a young man who's going to be a fellow, and he was kind of talking about the interview process and things like that. So you kind of mentioned that. You were an assembly fellow, so you have to, it's totally separate application process, right? You got to pick Senate or assembly. And what you mentioned was you picked assembly because that's kind of what you experienced, but did you wish you picked Senate after you did it?
I didn't get accepted into the Senate fellowship, so there's that. I got waitlisted at executive. So it was, for me, it was between assembly and executive, but I'm really glad that I went assembly because I didn't know anything that I wanted to do. I just knew that I was interested in environmental stuff. So being in the Assembly Fellowship, I got to work on a lot of different things. I think from the friends, knowing, just hearing from experiences with the friends that I have in executive, they just kind of worked on one thing because they worked with one agency.
Right.
So like the Natural Resources Agency, for example, like they just work on environmental stuff, which is great, but I wouldn't have gotten to know about other things. And I don't know if I would have gone into transportation like I'm in now. So
interesting. Yeah, really. And so you were a fellow during COVID, right?
Yeah.
So did you even get to go to the Capitol or like?
So the fellowship started, I started officially with my office in December, and I don't think I went into the office until May. And then the fellowship was over in September. So, and even then we were only going in intermittently. When we actually did start going in full time, it was obviously masks all the time. It wasn't really a hybrid setting. It was just, you know, every day.
Right.
And then during summer recess, it was a little bit more lax. So, you know, we weren't entirely in all the time, but I was there, and now there's construction. So I kind of feel bad for the upcoming classes because they're going to be in the swing space. But
yeah, it's interesting because I remember like in the early 2000s, there used to be such a great social scene in the Capitol. And, you know, the speaker would have parties and receptions and each office would have like parties at the end of session and things like that. And it's kind of slowly died. You know, there used to be like end of session potlucks and things like that.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
But my fellowship year was the last pre-COVID year. And we had that end of session potluck. And it was so much fun. And I like, lovely. And all the fellows now are like, that sounds great. I'm like, it was so great.
Yeah.
And so, you know, how weird is like a new staffer coming in now? Like, you don't know anyone. You don't know the other offices or how things work. So you can see how an association like this would be really helpful. Can you kind of talk about kind of what you guys are working on right now, kind of with staff currently, and and new staff coming in?
Yeah. So that's a really good question. We've got a lot of things that we're sort of cooking. Mm-hmm. I know just off the top of my head, one of the things we're working on with all of the other staff associations, not just the ethnic staff associations, but I know that the Capital Queer Association is included. Subtle plug because I'm also on that board. But we're working on a health policy initiative, sort of policy academy kind of thing. I know last year we did do policy academies, and by we, I guess I mean Black, because CLBSA wasn't, it didn't exist yet. But we did do policy academies last year where we worked with like water, transportation, and energy, I think, were the three areas. And I did the transportation policy academy this year. I think we're still going to be doing that, but this one is a little bit different where we're focusing on health issues. So that one is going to be coming up starting mid-September, and policy applications close on the 15th, so in a week.
Okay.
And so that's something that all of the policy academy, or all of the ethnic associations and the Capital Queer Association are accepting applications for. I don't know that you necessarily need to identify with any of the associations in order to apply. I know last year it wasn't like that, so I'm not entirely positive, but I know that that's something that we're really excited about because it's allowing those minority communities to be able to sort of infiltrate the health space where it can be really segregated, and it can be really racist, and it can be really just like, it could just be a really unhealthy space sometimes. So that's something that we're excited about. I know, in, I believe it was early June, my timeline's all messed up now, but we did do a healing space just because of the shootings that have occurred and just the police brutality that have that's been going on. And so we held a healing space just to make sure that staff had a space for that because it's important. Right. And we talked about this in the healing space. It's a little sad that that was like our first event, but it was actually also kind of iconic because it just shows like how much we're willing to pull the community together and have those conversations, even if it is the first thing that we talk about. So we've got that going on. We've got some policy academy ideas that we're kind of throwing out there with our policy director, and with other staff associations. We're also working on throwing together some events for the fellows. We're talking about planning some events for the upcoming fellows class with the fellows association that Cassidy mentioned. There's nothing in the works just yet, but we're just kind of spitballing some ideas there. So,
yeah, I guess it's kind of cool. I guess you have something to add.
I was going to say, we also are working on putting together a clothing drive with CQA for like, I guess anybody, and people can come and donate their like gently used business clothes for like incoming staff, fellows, anyone who needs new clothes. So that's also something we're working on.
Yeah. And I guess what's kind of cool about, I guess, the Capital community is there's so much alumni and history and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I guess mentorship kind of, I guess, how's your experience kind of dealing with, I guess, former staff or current staff who've been there a long time? And are they willing to join these associations and kind of give you guys time to kind of mentor you and kind of talk about their experiences?
Yeah, absolutely. At least from our experience, once we started or once we kind of joined the board as the leadership roles, I have seen and felt like nothing but support from pretty much everybody. I mean, we've talked with assembly leadership, Senate leadership. We have a coffee with the fellowship director later today. There's older staffers, senior staffers, even younger staffers that are helping us behind the scenes of like setting up everything we need to for our 501c3 and our bank account and like everything we need to get everything up and running. People have been like more than willing to lend support even if they're not on the board, which has been really helpful for us since this is our, I mean, this is my first time. You were on Black, but this is like our first time kind of being in a leadership role for a brand new association. Right. Yeah. So everything's kind of starting from scratch. Yeah. And it's been really nice having people that are helpful behind the scenes. And then our board, too, I think I was telling Alchemy this after one of our first meetings, is just great. And everybody actually comes with real ideas and they really want to make an impact and they want to help. And I think sometimes when you have a board, you have people who are just like on the board to be on the board, or maybe like one of us has twisted their ear and they're like, fine, I'll do it. Mm-hmm. But our board actually like really wants to help. And we have like hour long meetings of people and we have to cut off. We're like, hey, sorry, like we don't want to take up this much of your time right. after hours, like everyone go get dinner, but keep these ideas for next time. And so that's also been really cool of just the support from the outside, and also all of the like collaboration on the inside has made me excited for this year.
Yeah. You know, what I always find is pretty cool is, you know, a lot of people start a staff and then, you know, 10, 15 years pass by and all of a sudden they're members. Kind of what's your interaction like been with the kind of the Black Caucus, and are you guys kind of working together or coordinating some things here in the future?
Yeah. Yeah. So we've definitely talked with the Black Caucus, or with the people, like their schedulers, you know, they're really busy, but we've talked with them and, you know, they reached out to us actually initially and they said that they wanted to meet with us as a board. So we're really, really looking forward to that. I know last year there was a mentorship program between the Black Caucus and through Black staffers. And so, you know, we're hoping that maybe we could bring that idea up again and see like how that might go. But we're definitely going to be partnering with them on things in the future. And we're really looking forward to that. We still need to sort of get a time on the calendar to be able to talk with all of them, because it's all of us and then all of them. Like it's a lot, a lot of different calendars sort of clashing, but we're really looking forward to partnering with them.
Yeah, and kind of what's the percentage of representation of black staffers amongst the, I guess, the whole staffer picture?
I wish I had that percentage. Yeah. We were asked that in the last one. Yeah. I don't know a percentage. I want to say it's probably pretty low if I had to guess. Mm-hmm. I mean, when we all come together from in and outside the building, there's probably a lot of us. But if you look at the overall percentage, it's probably pretty low. I mean, as far as even just staffers not in managerial positions, there's probably more of us younger staffers. But when you look into managerial roles, ledge directors, chiefs, there's like just a handful. Yeah. And so I think that's also something that we are, you know, hoping to like foster with our association, is giving mentorship, or, you know, linking somebody up with a mentor so that they don't feel so alone and that they want to stay and to get into those managerial roles. Because it's one thing to like want to be a chief of staff, and it's another to be here for X amount of years to actually get to that point and kind of bring up Black staff behind you. And then, I mean, with our members, we just got two new members, Wilson and McKinner. So now we're at 12 members, Black members, which is awesome, but also 12 out of the 120.
Yeah. 10%.
So I'm sure the staff representation is probably similar to that. But that's another thing that we're working on, of just how do we like foster the pipeline of new staff to young staff to senior staff to managerial roles, and sort of just keeping people, keeping young minds and people that want to work in and around the building.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting, because both of you guys had no interest in politics, had no background in politics, and you're just like, hey, let's just try this out. Yeah. I guess kind of not it's your job to recruit staff or anything, but kind of like, what are you guys doing to get the word out, I guess, in kind of the Black community, that like, hey, there's jobs here and this is a good opportunity.
Yeah. I actually kind of feel like it is sort of like a civil duty of mine to like recruit Black staff, honestly, because as a fellow, there were enough Black fellows to where I could just make a teeny little group chat. And like, that's not saying a lot, you know, there's not enough of us. And so even if people aren't coming in through the fellowship, like it is still a really good opportunity to get a foot in the building. And once you're in, like you're good, you know, like it's going to be a lot easier to sort of make your mark and, you know, bring other people in. It's just, I just feel like as someone that was a fellow, I do kind of feel like it is my responsibility to sort of, you know, bring in more people that maybe want to be fellows, people that want to work in the building in general. I mean, you don't have to start as a fellow. You could start as a ledge aide. Right. You could even start as a ledge director if you have enough experience. You know, so I kind of feel like that is my responsibility, and I have no problem doing that. Like, I am really excited to tell people about the building and talk to them about my experience. I know that we're planning on meeting with someone, I think, next week. I think potentially virtually with the UC Davis Black Law Student Association, which kind of has a little spot in my heart because I was on the Pre-Law Student Association, the Black Pre-Law Student Association, when I was at UC Davis. But it's just, you know, putting ourselves in those positions to where we can educate students, people that are graduating, people that have graduated already and just have that interest or don't even have an interest at all. Kind of just like plant that little seed and just, you know, kind of help infiltrate the space a little bit more.
Yeah. And that's something I had a meeting with Pro Tem staff a couple weeks ago, and it was really great. And the one thing that he threw out was us going to student associations and not even like, maybe we talk about the fellowship, but we also just kind of talk about a day in our life at the job. And if there's anyone that's interested there, like then we can sort of bring them in and link them up with someone on the board or a different member and like kind of get the word out that way. So that we have like our fellowship route. And then we also have us just showing up as people, like, even if you don't want to do the fellowship, you can still get in, like, and there's plenty of different ways to do that. Mm-hmm. So that's something that we talked about, like the Sac State Student Associations, the Davis ones, like the ones that are close by. And just kind of getting the word out that way.
Right. And just kind of like, you know, it seems like the kind of these associations are maybe geared more towards younger staffers and things like that. You guys are new or kind of, you know, have the time and the energy, don't have the kids and kind of things weighing you down. How has it been interacting with older staffers and their interest in participating, kind of helping mentor you guys and kind of come in and talk?
I think they're really excited. Yeah. We've gotten nothing but you know, really positive energy and really positive interactions with older Black staff. They're really looking forward to helping us. Like they all just want to help. We like when in the first couple weeks before and after our election, they're like, how can we help? We just want to help. What do you need from us? Like people like lobbyists too, are reaching out and they're like, how can I spread the word? Like, do you have like an email? What's your social media? Like they've been really receptive. It's been really great.
Yeah. We just had an email, I think last week, somebody who was like, I can do anything. Like, just put me to work somewhere. I'll help. Yeah. And we were like, oh, we got to find a spot. Like, we have to think of things to then give out and delegate to people because we've had that many people like want to just support us, which I think is awesome, especially like with senior staff being able to kind of take their expertise and their knowledge and then be able to pass that down to whoever's like younger than us has been really awesome.
Yeah. I think it's one of the coolest things is like their willingness to help and like, you know, find a spot for people and things like that. Make sure you guys succeed. It's so awesome. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of an interesting time, right? We're having like 30 some members leave and it's the end of a 2-year session. And I'm sure they still do this, but used to get like this binder full of like resumes of like all the staff from the termed out members or the members who are leaving. And we're gonna have a bunch of new members come in. Kind of what are you guys planning or thinking about to, you know, kind of help, you know, new Black staff coming in or, you know, Black staff who might be displaced because their members are leaving, kind of find a landing spot?
Yeah, so we actually just got an email from one of the new members, and they had asked us if we had a list of Black staff and resumes that they could look through. And we didn't at the time, but we're like, oh, we're gonna put that together as soon as possible, because that's something that is just easy to hand out, easy to get people to even just, that's a different way to get someone to look at your resume. Like, you don't really have to know a chief who knows somebody.
Right.
You can just kind of give it to us. And then when a member like that asks, we can just give it out. And so that I thought was like a really awesome idea. And that's something also that we're working on doing for that exact reason of there's going to be tons of new members here. And, and you know, hopefully they are thinking about a diverse staff when they come in. I'm sure not all of them will, but hopefully most of them will. And so they can go to us or the other student associations and be like, hey, do you know anybody who is interested in being a ledge and office assistant, a scheduler, a ledge director, and sort of get that pipeline going for before members even actually get here.
Right. And both of you guys have experienced this. Your fellowship ends and then, you know, it's a musical chairs, right? You gotta find an open seat. So can you guys kind of talk about, I guess, finding that seat and kind of interplay between, you know, working in the building or, you know, finding something outside of the building?
I mean, we both left the building.
Right.
Yeah. So that's, I think we both have a really interesting perspective there. I think for me, it wasn't necessarily about not being able to find a spot in the building. It's just that when I started looking outside the building, I was like, oh, whoa. Like I did, like I said earlier, I did have my experience focusing on a lot of different issue areas. But in that experience, I learned which ones I liked the most. Mm-hmm. And obviously it's environment and transportation. And so, doing that sort of outside research, I was like, I actually really like focusing on one area. There's nothing wrong with focusing on a lot of them, but the way that my brain works, it likes one thing at a time. And so that's how I ended up where I'm at now, just working on environmental and transportation issues, clean energy, clean cars, like that kind of stuff. But I don't know if you could speak to it a little bit differently since you left and then came back.
Yeah. So when my fellowship ended, I had really wanted to stay in Senator Wiener's office. Like that was since like March, I had been talking to people in my office, trying to be like, hey, is anyone leaving? Like, not that I want
you, sure
you
don't want to leave.
Because I love my staff. Like, as long as one of you leaves, like, right. I can stay.
Yeah.
And nobody was leaving at the time. And so I had sort of had this moment of like, okay, do I move? And I do love the building. I came back. I love it. So I had this crisis of, do I just move into a different member's office and potentially not like the work as much, not like the member as much, not like the staff? I mean, in Senator Wehner's office, I was able to work on like pretty big policy bills that were, I was very passionate about. And I was very lucky to do that. And not every member like runs those type of bills. And so that was between that or just trying something new. And originally I had gotten into the fellowship thinking that I'd gotten into the fellowship only knowing about lobbying. Like, I didn't really know about staff work. And so when I came into the fellowship, it was to then go lobby afterwards. So then when I wanted to stay in Senator Wehner's office, that kind of threw me off. And then when I couldn't stay, I was like, well, I should maybe just figure out if I actually want to lobby now,
right,
instead of in 5 years or 10 years. And then I don't like it. And so I was able to work at Lighthouse. I started there in December and then the pandemic hit in March. So it wasn't like totally lobbying, right, I don't think. But then when Senator Wehner had called me saying that he had a spot open, I was like, well, I have to go back. Right. Like, this is the job I wanted originally. You. Yeah. So a little bit different, but just being able to have a new experience and just try it out, like, while I'm still young and while I can, no kids, no partner. Right. So like, I was able to jump out and then decide if I wanted to come back in.
And there's kind of the cool interplay, right? Like, there's kind of this game you have to play, right, as a staffer, where to get paid what you want to get paid, you kind of have to go back and forth a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe you have to go from assembly to Senate, or, you know, third house back in. So it's always something you don't know unless you talk to other staff, kind of figure out how to play the game, how to get, you know, the best salary, the best benefits, things like that.
And everyone's path is different. So that, like, I think I kind of fell into that at the end of my fellowship, like, oh, well, this person did this and they're making this much money, and this person did this way differently and they're making this much money. And so really my lead structure at the time was just kind of like, your path's going to be different. And unfortunately for you, I cannot tell you what that's going to be. I know you want me to say, this is what you should do. And that's how my brain works. Like, please just tell me what's going to be the best, because I can't figure it out. But you kind of just have to figure it out for yourself. And then now I'm telling my fellow the same thing. I'm like, I know this is a really annoying answer, but it's your path and it's going to be different than mine. It's going to be different from Alchemy's.
Yeah, because they're going to have 30 some members they can apply for.
Exactly, right? And my fellowship was the first year of a 2-year session, which is always different than a second year.
True.
And then, you know, Alchemy's was COVID, which is a lot different than mine, which was, you know, you went to coffees and had
Zooms. A lot of Zooms.
We vote counted in person. We knocked on doors. We just dropped by. Can't like, there's, that. Yeah, it's way different now.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny. So, you know, a lot of like has come up like, in the news and staffer, there was like a staffer Instagram thing, kind of like venting about, you know, their bosses and things like that. And there's talks about kind of like staff unionizing. I think there's a bill pending right now. Yeah. Kind of what are you guys' thoughts? Kind of what are you guys hearing from staff about kind of some of these things?
Yeah. So people have definitely, as if, I don't know if people have reached out to you, but as a former staffer, people have definitely reached out to me and been like, hey, can you help out? Like, you can call in and not be anonymous. Unfortunately, I was on vacation, so I was like, I can't call in at all, actually, different time zones. Yeah. But definitely people have called and asked, like, hey, could you help support this bill? Would have been completely happy to do it. Of course, it would have to be separate from CLBSA because we can't take any legislative positions on anything. So it would have just been me as an individual. But I mean, that's definitely something that folks have reached out about. Like, we can't do much as an association, but individually, apart from the association, on our own time, that is, we've definitely gotten a lot of outreach about that.
Yeah. And then as far as like the Instagram account goes, I think that is a unique situation because I think that it stems from staffers not feeling supported.
Yeah.
And so they feel like this is the only outlet that they can go to be heard and to be taken seriously. And so when we had the opportunity to kind of spearhead CLBSA, that was something that was really important to us of like, okay, you know, if there were any Black staffers that called in or posted to that Instagram, I want them to be able to come to us instead. Like, and so, and I want them to feel comfortable like going to Senate leadership through us if that's where they are, or assembly leadership through our assembly liaison if that's where they are, or third house if that's where they are. And instead of kind of just posting into this anonymous void, like
who knows on the other end of that?
So like, wow, that was something that was very telling to me of like, I want you to be able to come to me instead. And like, you know, I can set up a meeting with leadership who have like said that they're very willing to be involved and to be helpful and to hear new ideas about how they can support kind of from the top down. And instead of them, just shouting into the Instagram void about their member they don't like. And like, maybe if they had a more supportive staff, that situation could have ended differently for
and,
them. Or,
and, you know, I felt, you know, I had such a positive experience working the building, and it's kind of hard for me to believe that people have bad experiences. And, and so it'd be so welcoming, you know, if someone did was having a problem, that there was someone they could go to where they could get help, you know, resolving things. You know, it turning into, you know,
And even just like having us be a little bit younger, like we're not, I guess, as intimidating as like your chief of staff or like going to leadership. And so maybe we can be like that middleman of like a safe space and ear to like either just listen to them or be like, okay, what are the next steps, instead of having to like file an HR report like with your chief or go to like the workplace conduct unit, something like maybe people don't want to take that big of a step. But yeah, I was the same way. I mean, I had a great experience and I'm having a great experience. And so it's always sad for me to hear people that don't, because I know there are offices out there that you maybe don't have like that support. But if we can do anything to supplement that support with our board, then like we're going to do it.
No, that's great. And so what kind of, you know, you guys are a new association, you guys are, you know, up and running, probably a lot of new stuff, a lot of things you're running through. What are some of the challenges you guys are kind of seeing and kind of getting started and, you know, really getting your foothold?
That's a good question.
I'd say the first thing that comes to mind of challenges is, where do we start? Like we have all these ideas and we want to be really helpful, but we also understand that there is like, people only have a certain capacity for information and it can't be too much, but it can't be too little, and it can't be too overwhelming. It needs to actually be helpful. And so I think that's sort of, that's where I think I'm at with, where do we start and what will actually be the most helpful? Like, okay, I think the clothing drive is like a good place to start. That will be super helpful. But then after that, like what webinars will be helpful? What trainings do people want? Do people want brown bags with, do you like She shares. Yes. Do we want to do something like that, where we like literally set people up with a mentor and they get coffee once a month? Or do some people that are more like introverted not want to do that? Would they prefer to just listen to a webinar about something? So that's kind of where I'm at with, like, we have all these ideas and we want to do so much, but we want to make sure it's actually helping people and we're not just like putting out blank pieces of paper that we're like, look at us doing so much, and like no one's actually reading it.
Deleting the email.
I think sort of piggybacking off of that, and also something that Cassidy mentioned earlier, which is we are starting completely from scratch. So we do have to pull together the 501c3 status. We do have to pull together like a bank account. We do have to pull together like a following of people that are interested. And so, you know, we have to start, you know, with social media from scratch, email. Like, it's just reaching out to people and trying to get those connections started and get that networking going so that when people do join as members, they do have people that they can reach out to. It's not just like, I'm a member of this association and now what, you know? So I think that's been a really sort of challenging spot, is just trying to figure, and we do have a lot of support. So we are getting help that we need in terms of getting those things started and getting them up and running. But it's been really difficult. Like, I didn't realize how much time that would take. And I just feel bad because, you know, like when this all started, we were like, meetings are going to be short. I don't like long meetings. So if the meeting goes over an hour, I'm going to get cranky. But, you know, like, we're going to have short meetings. And then it's like, also, we're going to have a meeting every week, probably for a few months. Mm-hmm. I'm so sorry, but like, we need to get this done. So it's just, I just feel like it's been a lot of heavy lifting the past few months, but it's really rewarding. I mean, I wouldn't want to be doing anything else, because like, I just want to help the Black staff in the building and the Black lobbyists, of course. Can't forget the Black lobbyists, you know, so
Black staff in and around the building.
Exactly. Being one of them, you know, so, it's been a lot of heavy lifting, but That's awesome. It's a big challenge. Yeah.
Yeah. So you went from wanting to save the dolphins and the whales to
yeah. staff. Why not both? Yeah.
Dolphins and staff.
Yeah. Exactly.
Matter. Yes, exactly. Well, awesome. If any of our listeners want to kind of follow what you guys are doing, kind of what social channels can we find you guys at?
Yeah. So our Instagram at CLBSA, just the acronym. Mm-hmm. Twitter, I think it's at CLBS Association.
Mm-hmm. I think so too.
Okay. And then Facebook is California Legislative Black Staff Association. We do have a link tree in our Instagram bio. It might be in our Twitter bio. I can't quite remember right now, but that's where you can find the form to sign up to be a member and just get more information about the staff association.
And our Facebook has our Gmail account on it. Yes. So we can also just send an email if you don't want to do any of the other stuff. Mm-hmm. And we monitor that mm-hmm. daily. So if there's any questions or anything people out there would like to see or think would be helpful for us to provide,
yes,
please let us know.
Do you guys have like a calendar of the upcoming social mixers?
We do. Yeah, oh, we good. Have, it's like a Gmail thing. And so I think our events person, Symphony, has been communicating with all of the other events people and all the other,
like there's the a best group names.
Chat. Isn't it great? Yeah. Wow. So, yes. That's and awesome. Our email is CLBSAssoc, because okay. Gmail didn't like it when we tried to make it long. So at gmail.com.
Nobody likes that. Keep yeah. email short. People.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, awesome. Thank you so much for joining us, guys.
Thanks
learned
for
a lot.
Us.
And best of luck and looking forward to see where you guys go from here.
Thanks.
Thank you. Thanks.